The Gospel by John, the first chapter, and verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. This was a particularly happy time to come. There were those in their younger years who had been mercifully and graciously called by and Philip speaks with much joy, and he says, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. Philip seemed so full of joy and peace and gratitude that he felt he could not keep these things to himself. His cup really flowed over. Good when it does, when there is the right knowledge of the dear Lord Jesus communicated to our hearts. Now, these people were not deeply experienced in the things of Jesus. They did not know him very fully. Yet, afterwards, they should know more of him through his gracious teaching. It's sometimes so with young disciples. The Lord wonderfully favours them and blesses them, grants a felt pardon of their sins, and they may feel they know all there is to be known. Their hearts may be made very, very happy in the things of God. If you younger friends look pretty closely in these verses, you'll find that Philip made two mistakes. I wonder if you will be able to find those two mistakes that Philip made. The Lord didn't reprimand him for having made these mistakes, but no doubt as he grew older, so the truth would be revealed more clearly to him. This man of whom our text speaks, I believe Nathanael, was a real, true, spiritual seeker. He was one who was waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. He had a secret religion, and that's the most valuable religion that you and I can have, a secret religion. A person may make a great outward profession and have no grace. Some people adorn themselves with various robes, have a cross dangling around their neck, and they think with all those things, they are pleasing God. When the scripture says God requires truth in the inward part, now I believe, especially in our very early days, God's people have a secret religion. I got to bed last night, I was thinking about some of you younger ones. And I wondered if any of you have got a secret religion. If, perhaps, before you went to bed, or this morning, you felt you needed Jesus to make you good. You may have felt you're far from good in and of yourselves. You had to pray that the dear Lord Jesus would make you a real Christian, that he would forgive you your sins, that he would help the man in preaching and bless you in hearing. As wonderful mercy, even in the days of our youth, to have a secret religion. Now, some of you may have to say, well, I've got a secret religion. I didn't pray last night. I didn't pray this morning. Now I come to chapel, but I haven't got a secret religion. Well, you haven't got any religion yet worth having. And it will be a wonderful mercy if one day God gives you a secret religion. Now this secret religion that Nathanael had sent him in secret before the Lord, and he apparently had that fig tree not very far from his house, and we understand that in the East a person might creep under a fig tree and not be seen. So this good man, he got out of sight to pray. He wasn't like the Pharisees who prayed at the street corners, made long prayers, and were very pleased with their religion. But Nathanael had got a secret place for prayer. Perhaps at the end of the day, after he had finished his labors, he would retire under this fig tree. There we believe he sought for the coming of the dear Lord Jesus. He was praying about these all-important things. And one cannot help but think, we don't want to speculate, that Philip knew something about his friend Nathanael. He knew that he was a graciously exercised man and a praying man. Knew a little why Nathanael went under his fig tree. And so, when Philip is favored to find the dear Lord, and when Jesus speaks to him and he is assured that he is the Messiah, the Savior of poor lost sinners, goes and he finds his friend Nathanael, and he says, that wonderful Savior has come, whom you are seeking, of whom Moses and the prophets did speak. He has come. We have found him. Now, Nathanael could hardly believe what Philip said to him. Nathanael said, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Apparently, Nazareth was one of the most wicked places on earth in those times. People committed all manner of sins. And Nathanael knew a little what Nazareth was like. But you see, my friends, God has had some of his people sometimes in the very worst of places, where we might least expect to find them. But now, Philip didn't try to convince Nathanael himself. He knew that would be no good. Some of our friends, you may have felt in much soul anguish concerning others. Good to feel it. Good to be exercised about the never dying souls of some around you. You may have prayed about some cases. You may have tried even to convince them of the truth and failed. Your words do not penetrate their hearts. Well, Philip, he just simply said to Nathanael, "Come and see. Come and prove things for yourself." Now, there's a good deal of instruction in this. This is where the Lord's people are mercifully and graciously taught the truth when they are unable to come to Jesus, when they are favored to see him. And so, Philip would bring in his friend to Jesus. What a mercy. We are favored to bring a few sinners to Jesus. Not through our own strength, not through our own ability, but as the dear Lord may give us prayer. We have experienced ourselves that the all-important thing in religion is to be brought to Jesus, to have a right knowledge of this wonderful person. And thus, Philip says in simple language, "Come and see." And there was a willing spirit in Nathanael. Wonderful mercy when the dear Holy Spirit gives a willing spirit, a longing spirit, an earnest spirit to know and to find out things about this wonderful person. And now, as he was coming to Jesus, Jesus beheld him, and he said, "An Israelite indeed, in whom is no God." Wonderful testimony given by the dear Lord Jesus Christ himself. No duplicity in this man, Nathaniel. He wasn't a hypocrite. He wasn't one thing on Sunday and something else on the Monday. He was not a deceiver. He was a most honest, upright man. His heart was very, very sincere, and the Lord knew it. What a mercy it is to be delivered from hypocrisy. The Lord searches the heart. We can only look upon the outward appearance. You can only look at me this morning. I can only look at you. You can't look into my heart. I cannot look into your heart. But God can search our heart. Does search our heart. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart. Some of you dare not say, I dare not say, there's been no guile sometimes in our hearts, dare we? No. Poor, fallen, wretched, sinful, proud hearts have sometimes put natural demand to wish to be something. It's only grace can really sweetly humble us and make us nothing. Some of you today may feel very dry about your own cases. The dear Holy Spirit may have made you feel lately such great sinners, such unworthy sinners. Your life may be most circumspect, but the dear Lord has been pleased to teach you a little more of what you are inside. No one else knows what is going on. These things are just between God and your soul. You may have come to the Lord's answering burden. May not fear sometimes of being a hypocrite or being deceived. You may, after years of profession, hardly know where you are or what you are. Thus, there is a deepening of the work of grace in your heart. And as you and I are made to know and feel more of the hidden evils of our heart, to turn out this God, it will turn out this hypocrisy, it will turn out that spirit that is in us that would make us proud and make us think we were of some importance. So the teaching may and will be very painful, but it will be very profitable for your good and for my good. We come up to God's house feeling truly in the spirit of the publican, that is good. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord knows how to humble his dear people, to turn out this fire, to make us sweetly simple, to make us real Christians. Now, this testimony concerning Nathaniel was given by the dear Lord himself, and Israelite indeed. What a mercy to be an Israelite indeed, a real Christian, a sincere Christian. I believe many people go through this life with a profession of religion and slide quietly into hell, very shocked, terribly shocked, to be lost with a profession is indeed. But the Lord looked at the heart of this man and said of him, an Israelite indeed. You may feel that it's just what you feel to need. The dear Lord showed to bless you and favor you, to make you a real Christian. You may sometimes pray with much fear and trembling, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, any guile, any wrong motive, anything that really displeases thee. Make me, Lord, a real Christian, an Israelite indeed. Wonderful testimony. A good many we read who were of Israel after the flesh, but they were not real, true Israelites, spiritually considered. We've heard good not lately about the Israelites, and I couldn't help but think last night, wonderful mercy, the trials that the nation have passed through, the losses they have sustained, should be sanctified to them, and they, by the grace of God, be enabled to acknowledge the dear Lord Jesus as the true Messiah. That day doubtless will come according to the scriptures, when they shall know the dear Lord Jesus as Philip and Nathaniel knew him on this occasion. Jews, generally speaking, are of a proud temperament. They almost glory in that they were at least the chosen people of God. But, you know, it's a mercy to be an Israelite indeed, real, true, spiritual child of God, to have the sweet witness of the dear Holy Spirit with your spirit, that you are real. That's the all-important thing in religion. I don't suppose, you know, if the dear Lord Jesus was to come on earth to choose a minister to preach the gospel, he wouldn't go to Cambridge. Neither would he go to Oxford or London University. No, perhaps he would go out in their country, well, on this occasion by the seaside, where there were these fishermen, probably very unlearned, but oh, he chose them, he equipped them, he qualified them to preach the everlasting gospel. He made these fishermen real Christians and real ministers of the gospel. And how lovingly and how graciously they were enabled to preach his precious truth. Ah, my dear friends, you younger friends, doesn't matter how poor you are, how insignificant you may be here on earth. Oh, if the dear Lord should make you an Israelite indeed, a real Christian, if he should be fitting and preparing you for glory, bringing you to himself with humility and with true gracious confession of sin, bringing you to himself with tears like he did some, are that the all-important thing for the Lord to fit us and to prepare us for eternity. And if we have this wonderful preparation, I believe it will make us very anxious about the souls of others. And if we are favored to know this wonderful Messiah, this wonderful Savior, dear Lord Jesus, I believe it will be our joy and pleasure as enabled to speak of him to others. One has put it in our hymn, then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Savior I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no God, no artfulness, no underneath motive, where there is real, true, simple, sacred godliness, real, earnest seeker after the truth, after the dear Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed man. Nothing could be said better concerning us this Sabbath day than this. If the dear Lord should so bless us and take away from us all that is not of his Spirit. Now this statement made by the dear Lord Jesus very much surprised Nathanael. He knew it was a very wonderful word that was spoken to him. And he said to the dear Lord, when you know he sent me, how is it you know all these things concerning me? It amazed Nathanael that the Lord should thus know him and know things about him. Then Jesus said unto him, Before the Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Not naturally, but as the Son of God, the dear Lord Jesus saw Nathanael and knew all that went on under this fig tree. Now the Lord gave to Nathanael a striking proof of his being the all-seeing God. And that one couldn't help but think last night, no, this is very solemn, that nothing takes place without God knowing it, without God seeing it. You read elsewhere, you know, the mother sparrow falleth to the ground without your father's notice. How many a little sparrow, absolutely insignificant, falls to the ground. And if we can really believe it, then one falls without God seeing. Nothing escapes his eye. And some of you young ones may feel, well, that, you know that song, I've deceived my old dad, I've deceived my mother. You may do things they do not see. No, you can never deceive God. And some of us who have grown older may sometimes make us feel very sad. We've lost our parents. We may go over the days of our youth, and things may come to our memory, and we have to go before God, and we have to confess the sins of our youth, pray that God will mercifully and graciously forgive us. Some of us were not those saintly youths, were we? No, we were not those goody-goody sort. No, not by any means. Soon made evident in many ways that we were sinners. Now, as we grow older and we consider things more, nothing has been hid from the eyes of God. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And the dear Lord Jesus didn't say of Nathanael, he was without sin, he was not. He was a sinner. And that made him feel his need of a Savior, what Jesus did say, positively and definitely, in him is no guile. But he was a sinner. He needed a Savior and a great one. Now, there's something comforting in this. The dear Lord knows what you and I need this Sabbath morning. Now that we've tried to pray for three things, I noticed in particular our friends prayed for at our prayer meeting: peace and mercy and the love of God. Oh, what a favor if the Lord should answer those prayers, and that we may have asked for these things in secret, that the Lord would bless us with a peace of God which passes all understanding. May comfort you very much sometimes. Feel Jesus is very gentle, very tender, very loving, and he knows what you would be. He knows what you long to be. And all those secret prayers under the fig tree or in secret before God, they're all known to him. Even your sighs and cries, poor child of God, are known to him. We were singing in our prayer meeting a hymn taken from the experience of Jonah. Poor man was very disobedient, and he had to suffer severely for it. Yet you know God's eye was upon him in that fish's belly at the bottom of the sea. And Jonah's prayer reached him. And you may feel, well, I'm something like Jonah. I feel a poor, wayward sinner. May feel somehow very guilty, very unworthy of the Lord's notice. Yet the dear Lord knows all about you. He can see you. His ear is attentive to your prayers, that you may somehow feel those prayers are very poor. I think all God's people feel often the poverty of their prayers. Sometimes when they're sweetly helped, they would be thankful. They would praise the name of the dear Lord. But oh, how often feel their need of that sweet communion and fellowship with the Lord. But he knows those things we cannot express. And he can see all our needs. And it may be even this morning you may go home thankful. But you know what it is. For the Lord make you see it. Of what is in your own heart, to mercifully and graciously humble you, make you feel your entire dependence upon him. You may have felt there has been some guile in your heart. There hasn't been that real, true, godly sincerity that should be. And the Lord mercifully takes it away, subdues his spirit, and lays you sweetly at his dear feet, and says of you, behold, an Israelite indeed. I read last evening that 32nd Psalm, and a wonderful psalm it is. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Ah, poor sinner, you may feel poor and needy. You may feel very, very unworthy of the Lord's notice, of the Lord's presence, but that unworthiness is no barrier to God's presence. I believe he loves to see that spirit in us. There is no guile in Jacob's heart when Esau with those 400 men was coming to meet him. No, I believe Israel of old, Jacob of old, was wonderfully real and sincere in his confession and in his petition. So help us. My dear friends, we're in the safer place on earth for you or for me than to feel so very, very helpless in ourselves to be brought to depend alone upon the dear Lord. Well, Nathaniel, by these things very quickly had a right and blessed knowledge communicated to him by the dear Lord Jesus. He said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, thou art the one I've been looking for, the one I've been praying for, the one that Moses and the prophet said should come. And he was sweetly assured he had found, as we were reading, the pearl of great joy. May the Lord so bless us and encourage us. Amen.
Hymn 1058, tune Buckland 450. Hymn 1058. Lord, if thou thy grace impart, poor in spirit, meek in heart, I shall as my master be rooted in humility, simple, teachable, and mild, changed into a little child, pleased with all the Lord provides, weaned from all the world desires. 1058.
Lord, if thou thy grace thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide with us each in heaven.